connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for web.
Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Whoever's in that suit of armor, I really hope they don't catch me.
Oh man, are you talking about Vinny?
Who said that?
Hey, it's me. My name's Joel. I'm a small child right now with no arms.
Wait, Joel? Aren't you in like Sweden or something?
Yeah, Sweden's in the underground.
Oh, that's why it's so cold.
Yeah.
Somehow this makes sense.
Plus, that's how I can't, you know, get like mug or you know, other things that I've referenced on my stream.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't even realize this yet, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I'm surprised you were even able to leave for that brief moment where you went to New York.
Yeah, or that moment when I went to Japan, but thankfully Japan is also down here, actually.
Oh, that's why anime is such a big deal over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, do you know who was in that suit of armor?
Oh, yeah, that's Vinny.
That's Vinny.
He's the grandest guy I know.
Vinny, okay. Can you tell me why Vinny would want to kill me?
Kill you? I don't know why. He only likes to kill non-streamers, and you're definitely a streamer, I can see.
Oh, well, thank you. I try very hard.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm fairly certain that he's probably trying to kill, you know, non-streamers, because that's how we're supposed to get out of this mess. Is, you know, he collects streamers for, you know, the king.
The king?
Yeah.
And who's the king?
Oh,
hold
the
on,
king?
No, don't tell me. I want it to be a surprise.
Yeah, it'll be better, it'll be more narratively fulfilling if we find out later. Definitely not because we don't know who the king is currently.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you know who the king is because you live here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a monster kid, Joel, as we have established.
Please come out of grass and play the MC2!
Oh shit, I gotta run!
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's Vinny. Hey, Vinny, over here.
No, don't bring him over here.
But don't you want to meet Vinny? He's super famous and awesome.
Okay, actually, I kind of do. Damn it, that's not Vinny, that's just Jabroni Mike. Damn it, why did it have to be this? What a horrible turn. All right, I'm leaving.
All right, I'll see you later in ahead. I hope I don't like accidentally fall off anything a little bit later.
Oh, don't worry. I accidentally fell off something a little bit earlier and it wasn't that bad.
Oh, good. Yeah. We all got them Sprunk moments every now and again.
I don't know how to end this scene.
I don't know either.
We got too lost in the sauce. The pizza pasta, if you will.
Yeah, part of the problem of creating the worst scene ever is that you have to continue it at some point.
Yes, you have to keep going with the bit.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you just have to keep yes-anding until it just keeps getting worse and worse. We keep digging our own hole, which I guess is fitting since we're in the underground.
Yes, and we're in the underground today with another episode of NetSurfer Pro. I'm Matt, your main host, and with me is my other main host.
Oh yeah, sorry, let me go get him. Oh, hey, what's up? It's me, the co-host, Galen.
Nice.
Not Vine Sauce Joel, who has now run away to see Vine Sauce Vinny.
See,
or Vine Sauce Jabroni Mike.
See, here's the funny thing. Here's a little tidbit for all you fans at home. I'm pretty sure my Joel is better than his, but because I'm the one walking around, he had to supply his impression.
Joel is 100% better than mine.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed that. Honestly, I think we should just go straight into it.
Yeah. This is NetSurfer Pro, whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I'm your co-host, Galen.
And I'm your other host, Matthew.
If you've watched the other episode, wow.
You'll get the right verb.
If you have, hang on, listened.
Yay!
To the previous episode, you know we're talking about Undertale.
Yay!
Don't patronize me. If you haven't listened to the other episode, we would highly recommend you do, because a lot of this might not make sense without it. But we're just going to get right into it. We're not even going to do any fun goofs or anything.
Yes, we've already done enough.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun goof, by the way. That was just a goof.
Yeah.
I didn't have any fun.
Mm. So here's something fun. Undertale.
Yes,
specifically
Undertale.
The Undertale part of Undertale.
Yes. So where we last left off, we had just finished Core, and we were getting to the elevator to go to Undertale.
So you reach sort of a walkway overlooking the old Monster City, and through here, you're greeted by monsters. However, they're not here to fight you this time. They're here to tell you their story. The story of the king and queen, and their child, and their other child. The first fallen human. Essentially, King Asgore and Queen Toriel had a child named Asriel, which is a clumsy portmanteau.
Yes, the king is canonically not great at coming up with names.
Mm-hmm. Their new home, once they got underground, was named New Home. Yeah, so, but also, when the first child fell down, this was when Asriel was still young, and so they kind of adopted that child as their own child. Took care of them, raised them. They and Asriel were like siblings. Times were good. But one day, the child came down with a fever that they could not cure. And the child's only wish was to see the flowers from their village one more time before they died. So Asriel held the child, the fallen human, in his arms. And as the child died, he used that child's soul to cross the barrier and bring the human to the village, where humans immediately attacked Asriel, thinking he killed the fallen human. Asriel took the hits like a champ, went home, and proceeded to die shortly afterwards in the King and Queen's garden. Now, having lost two children, they grew incredibly depressed. The whole kingdom fell into depression. Asgore and Toriel broke up. Toriel moved to some old ruins, and Asgore decided that he would then harvest the souls of any human that fell down in order to break the barrier and free the monsters. That's the backstory of Undertale.
Yep. All told to you by the various monsters. At the very end, they even kind of, like, they get very hopeful mm-hmm. about your impending death.
Yeah. They're like, with your death, we will finally be free. So, yeah.
Yeah, once this is all done, you go through, well, no, New Home was this, but I want to specifically mention that the song that plays is called Undertale, and it is possibly the best song in the game.
Number two song to make you cry in a video game.
Literally, yes, oh my god.
It's so good. It's this, like, acoustic rendering of the main theme.
Yeah, it's... I can't describe it with words, the things this game does to me emotionally.
Mm-hmm. So, also, Asgore's home is a replica of the one that Toriel had.
Yeah.
It's all gray.
Which I fucking love as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you do eventually go through that, and you go through, and you get to the last hall.
The Hall of Judgment.
Yep. This is where... you probably recognize this as well,
mm-hmm.
Even if you have never played Undertale, but this is where Sans stands to judge you.
Sans stands, man. Mm-hmm.
Sans stands.
And he explains what L-O-V means and what E-X-P means.
Yeah, so this is, I think, the worst thing of Undertale. I understand. Here's the thing. I understand... exactly it. But that's kind of why I hate it.
It's so, a little too on the nose.
Exactly. XP stands for execution points, and LV stands for level of violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it... Again, I get it, but at the same time, it's like... I feel like it would have... The message would have worked perfectly as well... if, like, it was just explicitly stated that is your XP and LV as, like, the idea of XP and level in a game, you mm-hmm. know? Because, like, that is so much of the deconstruction in Undertale, is that EXP and level are numbers that go up when you do terrible things.
Yeah. So, Sans judges you based on if you've killed any monsters, yep. essentially. And then you are sent to Asgore, who is a doofus. He's great.
I love Asgore, and this is one of the best scenes in any video game. I do want to specifically mention, though, Sans has a whole lot of, like, a whole massive range of things he can say. Like, if you only have what, like, if you are only level 2, he, like, makes a comment of, like, did you really just go out and kill one monster just to see if I'd say something different? or, like, yeah, just various little things like that. You know, various specific levels will have different specific things he says, all based on predicting, like, what the player would have done, which Toby Fox is very good at, honestly.
Yeah. So, you talk to Asgore, he's like, oh, I hate that we have to meet under these circumstances. I wish we could have been friends.
Yeah.
Here, let me go with you. Or, come with me. You see him watering some flowers to start off with. And then he takes you to another room. There's a save point. Takes you to another room. There's another save point. There's like 3 or 4 save points before you fight him.
Yeah.
And then you meet him. He's like, it's a pleasant day, isn't it? Birds are singing. Flowers are blooming. And then it's like, it would have been a great day to play catch. He pulls out his trident, Batterwitch, and then he stabs and breaks the mercy button.
It is so good. It is at this exact point that old me, when playing this, went to my forum and was like, hey, how do you mercy Asgore?
They were like,
yeah, basically, we're like, ha 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 ha.
Asgore essentially doesn't have a way to beat him pacifist style.
Yeah.
You have to fight him. There are ways you can weaken him.
Yes.
You can talk to him. You can, you know, try to befriend him. If you saved the pie from Toriel until now, if you eat it, the smell will remind him of Toriel and he'll weaken.
Yeah. Which is also just heartbreakingly beautiful. Also, his intro sting is called Bergentrukung, which I think literally translates to, like, the king under the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the like text scroll that plays is so beautiful, where it's like, you stand before Asgore, king of the monsters, something something, you are filled with determination, which is of course like what is said every single time you save the game, is like, you know, the something something fills you with determination.
Yeah, there's a lot of mice in the save rooms.
Yeah.
The mice trying to get the cheese from inside the crystal fills you with determination. His main theme is just called Asgore, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, shoutouts to Asgore. Finger fucking.
Shoutouts to fingers in his ass.
Yeah. It's another great theme that is just applied perfectly for the right emotional sting.
Yep. Return of the heartbreak leitmotif as well.
Yeah. The do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do. Sorry, I'll just hum the entire thing if I keep going.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's in a lot of ways, it's like a remixed version of Heartache. Just sort of every melody in Heartache is re-represented here.
Yeah,
in a much more I don't want to say strong, in a much more forceful form.
Yeah,
it's clear that he still doesn't want to hurt you, but he's willing to hurt you.
Yeah, it's oh. Asgore is so heartbreakingly wonderful of a character, of like,
yeah,
a king who has promised his people that he will commit terrible atrocities in their honor.
A king who has no bad bone in his body.
Yeah. A king, like, he is, by all accounts, like, a big fluffy pushover who absolutely loves people.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is, 6 bodies in.
Yeah.
About to be 7.
Mm-hmm. But if you almost kill him, a bunch of little white bullets surround him.
Yep. Yeah. You can. So, like, for a little more reference, when you strike what is effectively the final blow, he like changes to like kneeling, and he's basically like, you know, well, I tried. You know, with this, you can break the seal, and you can, and like at this point, the mercy button actually, like, you can actually choose to either kill him or try and mercy him, and he's like, would you really like, you know, go the rest of your life up down here so as not to hurt me? Thank you, child. And then a whole bunch of white pellets surround him and kill him.
And here comes Flowey, the motherfucker. You thought he was gone? He's back. And he's in a weird Photoshop form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually shuts the game off.
Yeah.
He gathers the power of the 6 souls that Asgore collected and shuts the game off first.
And then when you reopen the game, you're in like a void and you walk forward and you see your save file, at which point it breaks.
Oh. Well, first, the intro cutscene is corrupted.
Instead
of saying, like, in the beginning there were humans and monsters, but they fought a war, it was like, in the beginning there were humans and monsters, one day they all disappeared.
Yeah. And it's notably, the monster that's in that opening is, like, one of the creepier looking ones.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, you get to your save file, it's erased, Flowey shows up, and he is like, I am stronger than anyone could have imagined. And he fights you with the weirdest, like, Giraffes album cover looking ass form.
This is the first scary part of Undertale.
Yeah.
Every route has a scary part, and Omega Flowey is neutral route's scary part.
Yep.
Yeah, he, like, if you actually sort of, like, take the time to dissect his image, it's kind of more silly than anything. He has, like, a teeth mandible looking thing, which actually kind of looks like, weirdly enough, it actually sort of looks like the Snowdrake skull, I think.
Ooh, you're thinking of Giftrot.
Oh, yeah, Giftrot, that's
yeah.
Kind of has that look around him, which is strange.
Well, we'll explain that a bit later.
Yeah, just keep that in mind. But, he has these, like, cactus arms. And, like, his attacks are also all Photoshop things, like you said.
There's, like, little, like gibber mouths that bounce around. He'll just attack you with a lot of vines. He'll shoot fingers at you.
Yeah.
Finger guns that shoot fingers. You know, finger guns.
But then every once in a while, the battle sort of, like, washes out a bit, like it stops and one of the souls starts beeping and it goes to one of those soul specific like battlefields.
Right. Each soul has its own sort of bullet pattern, and you have to survive it until the act button appears. And if you click on the act button with your heart, then it says, like, you called for help, and then the bullets all turn green.
Yeah. And you can basically get a full heal if you're good enough to get, all of the healing you need. But,
Yeah.
It's also worth mentioning that, even if you're doing true pacifist, you will probably get a lot of different weapons throughout the run. And all of the weapons are actually represented here.
Exactly, yes. There's, like, a ballet slippers, a burnt pan.
There's a gun.
There's a book.
Yeah, and, like, all of these have direct one-to-one correlations with all the other souls.
Yes. It's pretty wild, yeah. So, eventually, Flowey starts saving over your save file and loading it mid-attack.
Yeah, he starts save-stating.
Yeah. I don't even think you can really die during this fight.
You can. You can definitely die, but if you die, it does do, a good fake-out where, like, the ending, it's like, don't worry, this is all a bad dream, and you're never waking up. Ha 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 ha, crash game, and you reload it. And if you reload it, Flowey says, oh, you thought I'd be content killing you only once?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you only get literally one chance.
Yeah. Once you get all the souls, though, there is this great interlude where you feel the power of the souls join you.
Yeah.
And then you're able to fight Flowey.
Yeah. Your attacks actually start doing damage and, like, healing items start dropping. You can still die during this part, but it is a lot harder.
Yeah. Your attacks do, like, exponential damage, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it because it goes from, like, so the song that plays Your Worst Nightmare is a remix of Your Best Friend, which is Flowey's theme, and it has the Flowey motif that plays, the Your Best Friend motif, but it's, like, twisted in, like a minor key instead of a major key. Each soul has its own sort of different instrumentation. It's really great. But then whatever the one after Your Worst Nightmare, the final bit that plays after the interlude is like this, like drum, not drum and bass, but like this, like, hard style sort of remix. That's like, it uses synth for the main melody. It has this, like, really fast drum beat behind it. It very specifically reminds me of one composer, Hoppy Nano, who did these, like, medley of Kirby music and Pokemon music. All of them would end with this, like, specific style of, like, drum and bass remix. Look up the medley of Kirby SSDX and you'll see what I mean. Fantastic. Anyways, yeah, it's this great, powerful moment of overcoming Flowey at the very end.
Yeah, and so you do the exponential damage, you destroy him. I love one consistent thing that Undertale does is, like, essentially you just have phases. You don't actually even, like, have specific damage numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, realistically, like, you are technically doing bigger numbers of damage, quote-unquote, but, like, realistically, you're just hitting fight, you know, 25 times.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. But, so yeah, you beat Flowey, you get his HP to zero, and he's like, you, and he loads a save file right at the beginning of the fight, has a literal troll face and says, you idiot. And then he, like, kills you, loads file, until you're at, like, literally one HP and he's got bullets surrounding you. And he's like, did you really think it'd be that easy?
And then it just doesn't work.
Yep.
Because the souls save you, and they no longer power him.
And, yeah, and so, yeah, the souls circle and, like, lose power, and he yells, and it sort of, like, flashes, and everything washes out to black. And then it comes back up, and you've got the same prompt that you had with Asgore. The mercy button has literally, like, reconfigured itself. Like, it's literally been broken and has been relayed back out. And there's Flowey looking, like, punished.
Wilted.
Yeah. And there is fight or mercy. And my first playthrough, I actually killed him. And beautiful moment where he turns creepy face and says, I knew it, you had it in you, and then wilts away.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
But what you're probably going to do, if you're a good person, not me, is you're going to hit mercy. Oh,
you're plenty a good person.
Aw. Thank you. If you're a good person when you're playing this, I was not a good person when I played this.
Then you hit mercy.
Then you hit mercy, and he's basically like, he's like, what are you fucking doing? I'm just going to kill everyone again. I won't stop doing this until you're dead. And you keep hitting mercy, and he's like, why? Like, what? For what purpose? And eventually he runs away.
Yeah. And he might say, like, there is something better you can do to reach a better ending. Try going to Undyne's house.
Yeah.
And essentially, this is your cue to reload your save and backtrack a bit, because now it is time to do the pacifist ending.
Yes.
So, yeah. Big spoiler, there's two main endings and then there's neutral ending, which we just covered. To do the pacifist ending, you have to fight the neutral boss anyways.
Yeah. You cannot do true pacifist on your very first run. You do have to have done it at least one more time.
Yeah, but you can use the same save file as long as you've done the condition of not killing any monsters.
However, if you have killed monsters, you're going to need to restart fully, which brings in one small fun detail. Well, not one small fun detail, but one of the little meta tricks the game does is that when you restart, there's a lot of altered stuff where essentially characters will say, like, hey, have we met before? Nah. And the game will remember various choices you made. For example, rather famously at the very beginning, Toriel asks if you like cinnamon or butterscotch better. And whatever you answered when you played it, she'll be like, you know, hey, I just had a question. Do you like cinnamon or butter? Actually, no, wait, don't tell me. You like cinnamon, right? And you go, and you have the prosody reaction of, oh my god, I remembered when I said cinnamon.
Yeah. Also, the name you entered stays the same when you restart.
You cannot change the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there's true pacifist, which is not killing anything, and there's genocide, as the community calls it. No mercy is another fun name, which is kill every monster.
Yes.
Literally every monster. Literally, you have to kill every... Literally, you have to keep killing monsters until there's no more random encounters.
Yes. There will be a moment when you have no more random encounters where it will say, but nobody came, and the music will slow to half speed for the rest of the level.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about genocide later. Let's start with true pacifist.
So, true pacifist. As we mentioned, you can go on dates with the various characters, and you have to go on dates or hangouts or what have you with all of the characters to get true pacifist. What makes this actually available after neutral ending is that there's a letter under Alpha, like at Alphys's lab, I think.
It's a letter that Undyne gives you.
Yeah.
You deliver it to Alphys. Alphys thinks it's a love letter from you personally, because it's a love letter from Undyne to Alphys, but she didn't write her name.
Yeah.
So you go on a date with Alphys. Alphys realizes she doesn't have feelings for you. She has feelings for Undyne. You help her get ready for asking Undyne out.
And then Undyne ends up appearing.
Yeah. Throws Alphys into a trash can and then asks you if anime is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens. There's context behind that, but you know what? It's funnier if we
play the game yourself.
Yeah, play the goddamn game yourself. Or you've already played it and you know the
context.
But
through this, Alphys realizes she has some important unfinished business. And she goes to her lab. When you get to her lab, you find a note that seems pretty dire, written in front of what you thought previously was her bathroom. And it's not a bathroom, it's an elevator that goes very far down. Cue spooky.
Yeah, so this is scary part number two of Undertale, is True Lab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the backstory goes that a long time ago, Asgore basically hired Alphys to research souls to see what makes a human soul so different and if they can basically artificially create human souls so that they can break the barrier without killing anybody. And this goes horribly awry. Alphys finds that there is some sort of power called determination that humans have that lets them keep their soul's power after death. However, monster souls fade away after death. And so that's normally a pretty big problem. But maybe by artificially extracting determination from something, she can put that into monsters to save them. They make the determination extracting machine, which is what you said Flowey looked like. Omega Flowey, Photoshop Flowey.
Yeah.
And Giftrot Skull looks like the determination machine.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird.
It's a visual motif that pops up multiple times, and like it makes sense in most of the scenarios, but then there's just the fucking deer.
Yeah, Giftrot, by the way, so he's a deer that has like Christmas decorations on him, and you help him out by realizing he doesn't like the decorations, and so you undecorate him. Sometime one of the decorations is like a like faulty JPEG link, like a thumbnail for a missing image file. One of them is just an annoying dog.
Yes.
And it's important to note the significance of the annoying dog, because the annoying dog is Toby Fox.
Yes, yes.
It's his, like, avatar in and out of game. That's his Twitter profile. That's the face he went with when he did that Fangamer live stream where he talked through text-to-speech.
Yeah, Toby Fox being the annoying dog is so, so good.
Yeah, he appears in, like, a Fisher-Price toy car in Deltarune Chapter 2,
yeah.
Which is incredible, but, yeah, he appears in the Giftrot fight, and so Giftrot's clearly important.
Yeah.
I like an idea posed by, the streamer Desert Pagona, Desert P, in that Giftrot is a character in Deltarune that is pretty important. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about Deltarune, or else we'll be here too long.
Yeah. We're already here too long. Like,
it's, yeah.
Deltarune is later.
True Lab, you're going around gathering keys to get to the power station of the lab to fix the elevator. As you go, you meet the Amalgams. What happened is that when Alphys extracted determination and put it into, like, dying monsters that had fallen down, as they say, the monsters were fine at first, but then they started, like, turning into these weird flesh blobs and basically fused together, creating these, like, Cronenbergian horrors.
Yeah.
It's really sad. You can trace the origins of a lot of them.
Yeah. There's one that's, like, a whole bunch of dog spirits that, like, you know, conglomerated into just one mass of dog. And, like, it's, yeah, like, obviously that's no good.
There's an abandoned dog guard post early on in Snowden.
Yeah.
There is Snowdrake's mom.
Yeah, yeah. The mother that, like, I think they say, like, they don't explicitly say died, but, like, died.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's, like, fused with some vegetables, which is really weird. There is also Shiren's sister. They mention that Shiren has been really sad because her sister died, which would make you sad. In that she used to hum with her sister. They used to sing together.
Yeah.
That's why singing with Shiren is how you spare her. But her sister is one of the Amalgamates. If you go into Alphys' house on the second floor, there's a drawer full of letters. all of those letters are letters sent by the families of the dead monsters wondering what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. it is supremely fucked. And like, it's also really good horror.
Mm-hmm.
There's one specific one that's like, it's like the eye monster, one of the bird monsters, but like, it's specifically, Ronith. Yeah, it's Ronith.
Yeah.
It's literally fucking Ronith.
It's fucking Ronith. I love it.
And like, it has the head part, but then the body part literally stretches to like obscure part of the HUD as mm-hmm. you're fighting.
Yeah.
Also, you're locked into true pacifist at this point. Literally, you can try to fight the things, and they, like, will not take any damage. You cannot kill these things.
Yeah.
But what you do to, like, not sort of set them at ease a bit, is essentially just treating them like you treated the other monsters.
Yeah.
You sing to Shiren's sister.
Lemon bread.
Yeah. You pet the dog.
And play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tell jokes to Snowdrake's mom. Yeah. It's really great. You kind of remind them of who they are, but also just treat them.
Yeah. Treat them with respect.
Yeah. Also, the most creepy moment, though, is the bed that you can sleep in.
Yeah.
And if you sleep there long enough, a amalgam will show up and, like, tuck you in. It reminds me of, what's it called? There's a specific character in Yume Nikki that it reminds me of that's, like, Squeaky Squeaky. It's, like, the translated name. Is it QQQ'n? Is that the name of it? It's, like, this gel thing that rubs a pipe.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
That fucking thing.
There's probably another NPC sprite in Yume Nikki that it's based off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very creepy. You learn that the last experiment Alphys tried was injecting the, like, monster determination into a flower.
Yeah.
One of the flowers from Asgore's garden. One of the golden flowers. Oh, no, the flower's gone.
It's beautiful realization. You also can actually find, like, family footage.
Yeah, family, like, videos.
Yeah.
And through there, you learn that the fallen human dying was part of their plan.
Yeah.
Is getting caught part of your plan?
Of course.
Yeah, like, they found that the flowers were poisonous. And so they took the poison flower to, like, make Asriel break the barrier?
Yeah. Yeah. It.
Something is sus.
Yeah, things are very sus.
Yeah.
But, the ending is that you eventually do get to the power, and, like, you turn around, there's a whole bunch of blobs of amalgamate, a whole bunch of amalgams.
Yeah.
That, like, seem to be descending upon you, but then Alphys comes in and is like, wait.
They're with me.
Yeah.
I got you food.
And essentially explains, like, yeah, listen, I've done fucked up shit.
I have to go confront the families now.
Yeah.
You go on ahead. So you go into the elevator. You get a call that's like, the pieces are set in stone. It is time. And then the elevator rides you straight up to where the castle is. And you can't go back down because it's covered in vines.
Huh, interesting.
You go to fight Asgore. And right before he destroys the mercy button, a familiar flame appears and knocks him out of the way. One that was knocked, one that hit Flowey long ago.
Yeah.
It's Toriel, and she's here to scold her ex for killing kids.
Yeah.
She basically says, like, hey, if you really wanted to do this, you could have just taken the soul we already had from our adopted son, our adopted child, go out through the barrier, get 6 more humans dead, come back, break the barrier. The only reason Asgore was waiting was because he didn't want to own up to killing the kids. He had he was, like, in denial of his goal. He wanted to wait and have them come to him so that he could feel less responsible for killing them.
Yeah.
That, like, he was hoping that they would never show up. Because then he wouldn't have to kill anybody.
Yeah.
That it was never about doing something for his people. It was just out of his own cowardice and inability to make a hard decision.
And then at this point, like, Sans and Papyrus also come into the room.
Yeah. And then Alphys and Undyne, and Alphys and Undyne smooch.
Yep. I also love that, like, Asgore does not speak for most of this, but like you can see, like every time a new person comes in, he just like looks like he's about to break down. After
yeah, them. And like, then Sans and Toriel start flirting.
Yeah.
I love Papyrus being like, "This is the best day ever. We have all the friends together." And then Sans and then Toriel says a skeleton joke, and he says, "Never mind. This is the worst day of my life."
Yeah.
And then yeah, Alphys is like, "Hey, Papyrus, you know, you called me to tell me to meet up here, but you showed up after me, so how did you know that the human was here?" And Papyrus says, "A little flower told me." And Alphys, realizing what's happening, freaks out. She's like, "A flower, you said?"
And suddenly vines, very familiar photoshopped vines, burst through the room and like entangle everyone.
Mm-hmm. And Flowey's like, "You idiots! I can't believe it!" And then he tries to kill you, but all of the characters are like shielding you with all their projectiles except Sans.
Yep.
he doesn't try to stop them. And then all the monsters that you've saved show up to help you out as well. And then proceed to get killed by Flowey, yeah. Stealing their souls. And Flowey ascends into his true form, Asriel Dreamer.
And so begins the best boss fight in any video game.
Yes. So I want to mention that the song that plays, Hopes and Dreams, is like a chip rock remix of a lot of the motifs in the game.
Yeah.
Including the Undertale motif, and but also the Your Best Friend motif as well.
Yeah.
But it was based off Onomatoguchi's music, and in a recent live performance, they actually performed a live version of Hopes and Dreams. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They kind of paid tribute to somebody paying tribute.
A beautiful Ouroboros.
Yeah. It's a great fight. When you act, your two options are hope and dream, other than check. Hoping reduces damage you take, dream gives you free healing items, and Asriel has some pretty dangerous attacks. There's like some lightning that shoots down and is, you know, kind of hard to dodge. There's a bit where there's like three lasers that'll show where bullets will appear and they'll track you, so you have to like wait for them to shoot and then just barely dodge.
Yeah.
But the whole time, you're kind of just waiting for Asriel to, like, talk to you. He tells you, like, he's kind of just done with everything.
Yeah.
He's done being a flower. He's done with the world, and he just wants to end it. Eventually, he goes into his, like, ultimate form. Like, Omega Dreamer or something.
Yeah.
Which has a bunch of hearts all over it, it should be noted.
Yeah, again, with the heart motif.
Mm-hmm. And he has even more powerful attacks. But here, you can actually call out and save the other characters.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that the specific thing is, like, you realize you can't save the game, but maybe you can save your friends.
Yeah, so you go through each character, you know, Toriel, Asgore, Sans, Papyrus, Undyne, Alphys, and you kind of redo their fights. Though for Alphys's case, it's attack patterns Metaton had.
Yeah.
And your like main goal, other than dodging their attack patterns, is to sort of remind them of the time you had with them. So for Papyrus, it's talking about puzzles.
Yeah.
For Undyne, it's very weakly fighting her.
Yeah.
Because her pacifist solution was to show her how weak you are. For Alphys, it's just nerding out.
Yeah.
And, like, asking to watch anime. Toriel, it's you hug her. Asgore is you, you forgive him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I really want to mention Asgore. I didn't bring it up earlier, but now that I've actually sort of explained his sort of selfishness or his cowardice, the reason he destroys the mercy button it's because, for one thing, he doesn't want to feel bad, and so he puts you in a situation where you have to fight back, but because he feels like he is beyond mercy.
Yeah.
That he would rather die to your hands than end with you forgiving him.
Yeah. It's a sort of, like, it's a way of, I can't forgive myself.
Yeah. So yeah, but so, once you save everybody, it says you realize there's one person left to save. And you get the best part of the game. You save the goat.
You save the goat.
At, you you Azrael kind of realizes that he's just been lonely, that he misses his adoptive sibling. He is just under so much pressure, and you're able to kind of help him realize what it means to live again.
Yeah.
You know, being a flower, he didn't have a soul, but now that he's a goat again, he has a soul and he cares.
Much like goats do.
Yeah. And now that he pretty much has the entire power, he breaks the barrier after you hug him one last goodbye.
Yeah. He breaks the barrier and then, like, appears in, like, his normal form. Also, it should be noted, when he appears as his normal form for the first time, he literally is seen crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad.
Also, both the, like, boss forms are, like, super edgy.
Yeah.
On purpose. They're, like, his DeviantArt OCs.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good.
But then, yeah, like, he destroys the barrier and returns to sort of his normal goat man form. And is basically like, you know, well, unfortunately, I have a limited time left before I turn back into a flower, but go. You know, have fun with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the option to hug the goat man, which if you don't do, you're not someone I want to be friends with.
Yeah. Gotta hug the goat.
Gotta hug the goat.
There is also an epilogue where you can go backwards through the whole game and talk to everyone. There's a nice bit where the Amalgamates are with their families again.
Yeah. Also, this is another great moment where, like, the shoes drop on various little choices you've made. Like, if you talk to Toriel, she'll be like, hey, did I ever tell you about the time that the human flirted with me and then called me mom? And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Don't share that. That was us time, Toriel.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you go all the way back, and you can go back to the very, very beginning where you dropped in and say hi to Azrael one last time as well.
Mm-hmm. So, there's one detail we haven't mentioned, which is the main character's name.
Yes. Yeah. The human that you name is not actually your character.
Your character that you play is named Frisk.
Yep. And everybody just kind of assumed that you were Kara the entire time because...
Oops. Who's Kara?
Kara, the other character. I've said Kara before.
Have you?
Yeah, in this very episode. You? I'm very certain.
I don't think you have.
Kara is the canon name for the, like, other... The, like...
The character you name.
Yeah, the character you name.
Yeah.
And so, like, everybody just kind of assumed you were them,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, you were Frisk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Everybody, like, stares out at the landscape, and, you know, like, Papyrus runs out. He's like, I'm going to be the new human ambassador! Yeah!
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's a wonderful ending. Toriel asks if you'd like to be part of their family, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say yes or no. If you say yes, then you get an epilogue where, like, she puts you to sleep. If you say no, then you get an epilogue with a happy picture from everyone. And the entire credit sequence is also, like basically just showing the monsters integrating into human society.
Mm-hmm.
Papyrus drives a car.
Yeah.
A real car.
He mentions wanting to feel the wind through his hair.
Yeah.
Not even considering what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I want to talk a bit about some of the themes now that we're here.
Yeah.
For one thing, as I said in the last episode, a lot of the game's character arcs are about helping the monsters realize their own problems or their own personal problems. A big part of that is realizing that, like, they really just care about other people more than they care about fighting you. But it's also worth noting that a lot of their motivation is justified on a false pretense. So I talked about propaganda in Waterfall, but also, like, Asgore's motivation is based on the pretense that he doesn't want to actually kill anybody, but he feels like he has to, and the rest of the society is set up for that. The, like, need to paint humans as this complete evil that's it's okay to kill is to help him sleep at night.
Yeah.
The royal guards are only set up to catch criminals, but they're humans. The only criminals they care about are humans. And so Undyne's only justification for fighting you is you're a human. Even though you're a literal child and weak and a baby, like...
Little baby man?
Yeah. And similarly, same thing for Papyrus, that his only reason for wanting to capture you is because you're a human and it will impress Undyne. And, like, every character has that sort of, like, assumption or false pretense that justifies their actions, but as you actually make them realize, like, you're just a kid, they try to justify themselves further until it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
This is true as well with Alphys and Metatine, that Alphys wants to impress you and be a cool hero, but when she realizes that you're okay on your own, she further tries to, like, make Metatine more of a villain in order to make herself more necessary, but eventually that reasoning crumbles when it turns out, like, she never really had control, I guess, in core.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just really interesting that a lot of the pacifist boss fights are just, like, making them realize that you're not doing anything. Papyrus, you can just lose to, and he'll realize how you don't really want to fight. Undyne, you run away to show her how weak you are. And there's a bit where, like, when you're hanging out with her, you can play fight, and it says, like, hit her hard or hit her lightly. And if you hit her lightly, she's like, wait, that's what I was afraid of? You're kidding me.
I think even if you hit her hard, you basically get the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that is, like, oh, and Toriel's assumption is that you wouldn't be able to handle yourself when you have to prove that you can.
Yeah.
That in the face of what seems to be a need to kill, you won't kill. And so, yeah, it's like, what I think is interesting then is that back to Monster Kid has assumptions, but no justification or no actions are trying to justify. Monster Kid has assumptions about humans, but they just want to be friends with you. And I think that's really interesting that, like, all the other characters, they're hesitant to be friends with you because they're trying to justify their other actions.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, maybe they'll do something bad eventually and then it'll be okay to kill them. But Monster Kid is just immediately your friend. They have no ulterior motive.
Yeah. I really want to stress as well the, like, wonderful meta tale of this, of, like, you know, like, When you abstract this and put this into the context of any RPG, like, don't the monsters have every right to assume that about humans?
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing the neutral route, it multiple times gets brought up that, like, if you're doing neutral and killing monsters, it gets brought up multiple times that, like, you're killing people who have families.
Yeah.
That they're now never going to be able to see again.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fucking horrible person.
Yeah. The other main thing I want to talk about is more of a motif, but it's puzzles. The role puzzles play in Undertale.
Yeah.
I didn't really pay attention to this at first, but when I met that NPC talking about how monsters like making puzzles, I realized that puzzles are very important. Almost as important as the bullet patterns. The ruin puzzles are these basic tutorial puzzles, but like I said at first, they are not lethal. They are like the kiddie, like, slide version of them. Like I said, there's leaves under the pitfalls. Like, it's set up so that even if you failed the puzzle, you wouldn't fail the puzzle. All of Papyrus puzzles are lethal, of course, until they're not lethal. They pretend to be lethal, but they fail, which is most likely due to Alphys to some extent, because when Papyrus does the, like, square tile puzzle, the machine that he uses to generate it, he says it was made by Alphys, but it also looks like Metatine.
Yeah.
But the real puzzles in Snowden involve ice skating, which is fun.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. There's a lot of playing in the snow in Snowden.
Yeah.
There's one puzzle that doesn't seem to be set up by Papyrus, which is the mini golf, which is like just rolling a snowball across the ground to get it into a hole.
Yeah. And there's also one that definitely isn't, which is the junior jumble.
Yeah. That was made by somebody in the Snowden village. Waterfall has naturally occurring puzzles, which gives it this very tranquil feeling. I think technically the rocks that fall through the waterfall are made by Undyne and Alphys. They set it up. And what's funny is there's an echo flower, and if you talk to it, it says, like, I feel like I'm being watched. And there's a hidden camera in the bottom waterfall. So that's cool.
That's funny.
There's a few hidden cameras that imply that Alphys has been watching you for a while.
I also... I, I oh. want to... I want to bring up one small detail, just because it occurred to me. It occurred to me this last time playing, the travel that the ice cubes take. Yeah,
you can track that too.
Yeah,
it's literally just to fill that water cooler.
It's the water cooler in the car.
Yeah,
because there's a big buff furry guy who throws big ice cubes into the river that then travel all the way through Snowdon, through Waterfall, probably also through Hotland, and then eventually get dumped into the core to cool it off.
Yeah, it's pretty great. You can track those. But yeah, the only non-natural occurring puzzle in Waterfall is the piano puzzle, where you kind of play the notes of the song in memory. And also, that does involve putting the umbrella on the statue, and it's very nice.
Yeah.
Hotland puzzles are obviously sort of an act put on by Alphys and Metaton. But what's interesting is that I feel like the colored laser puzzles aren't built into the surroundings. They're just like these floating drones.
Yeah.
Whereas the puzzles that are built in are the vents, the thing that's in every trailer.
Yeah.
Which have a purpose in world building of their vents that help cool off the machines. And the bullet puzzles, which I can't tell if those are meant to be training or if they're just a fun mini game. Because there are school kids that hang out near them.
Yeah.
The shmup puzzles.
They're an arcade.
Yeah, exactly. And then the core puzzles are actually lethal versions of the puzzles Alphys has in Hotland.
Yeah.
So all of the puzzles have a role beyond being things you interact with and things that you do. They all say things about the world and about the characters that set the puzzles. The puzzles that are a part of the world are non-threatening, and they either serve a purpose in the world or they are kind, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas the puzzles that are set by people are meant to be lethal, but they always fail. Because kindness wins. I also think the puzzles in the ruins are made by Toriel.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few mentions that the only things that can get into the ruins are ghosts and things that can burrow, which is very clearly explains the monsters that are in there. Otherwise, Toriel's the only person who's set foot in the ruins. Also, there's been six other humans.
Yeah.
Five or six.
Six.
Yeah.
You're the seventh.
I think that includes Kara.
No, I don't think it does.
Because I think after Azrael left Kara's body in the village and he re-entered the barrier, he still had Kara's soul.
I guess, yeah, I guess the knife is one of the weapons.
Yeah, so there are five other kids that fell down. Presumably Toriel built this is a bit of a digital interactive media hypothesis, or extrapolation. I forgot the right acronym again. But presumably Toriel built them to help train the other humans, but after seeing them all pass through and end up dying, that just made her decide to skip them for you. Oh, a few other notes in my notes that I didn't bring up. Snowdon is full of people in the wrong profession. There's obviously Papyrus, who is a completely incompetent guard, which is why Undyne has been teaching him to cook. Sans would be a good guard if he tried, otherwise he's a businessman and a very bad businessman.
Yeah.
There is, a bartender who is literal fire in the snow town. All the dogs don't care about guarding, except maybe the couple, but even then they're too distracted by each other.
Yeah.
There's also, of course, Snowdrake, who is been told to aim for a profession that he doesn't want to follow, and Gifftrot, who is forced to dress up in a way that he dislikes. So that's a fun constant. And then, yeah, I mentioned the other waterfall note. Okay, so we were going to talk about the final route, but it appears we're going to need more time.
Yeah.
So this is a three-peat, three-parter underprol? It's not quite the end of March, but it's not quite April.
Munster? We're going to talk about the monsters next.
Yes. So, for now, you can follow us on NetSurfer Pro on Facebook and Twitter. Get updates on our new episodes. Get emoji teasers for our upcoming episodes. We'll have new ones in a bit. We did just buy ourselves another week of not needing to record something, though, so that's cool. You can follow us on any podcasting platform you like. Give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Give us that sweet search engine optimization. Feed us the algorithm. And you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming, where you can get links to things like my Twitch stream, my YouTube channel, my music, and whatnot.
You can find me on Twitter and on TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. I post my hot takes and sometimes cool videos. I've had some pretty good bangers recently. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube, where one of these days I'll make a video about, I don't know, why Pallet Town's music is bad in the remix but really good in the original. Genuine video, look it up. And you can find me on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire. I don't stream, but if I did, it would be there.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that I have a video either out now at the time this is coming out or out soon at the time this is coming out.
Yes, please do watch it. I've already watched a good portion of it as of recording.
Like, and 5-6.
It's very good.
Thanks. And we'll be talking for 2 hours. We'll see you in the next one where we kill everyone.
Yep.